الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our discussion about some of the important affairs related to the science of al-hadith and the most important issues related to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our previous classes, we're discussing important issues related to the tabaqat al-ruwat, with regards to the categories of the narrators and their position and status in al-Islam, and the great efforts they have made to establish the sunnah and to protect it and to guard it and to carry it and to transmit it to those after them. And we have seen that each tabaqa, they have teachers and students, and each one they learn from the one before them, all the way back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have seen a number of examples with regards to this, and from that which is in Sunan Abi Dawud, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Radiyallahu anhuma, tasma'una wa yusma'u minkum wa yusma'u min man sami'a minkum, that you're going to hear the knowledge being taught and being clarified, and it will be heard from you, and it will be heard from those who hear from you. The revelation was conveyed in this manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the Qur'an. He revealed the noble Qur'an to the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, who descended with it upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the command of Allah. And he taught the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the words of Allah and the revelation that was revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught that to his companions, taught them that recitation precisely and correctly. And they memorized that as it was revealed. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught them the interpretation and the application of the revelation as well, until it was mentioned about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna khuluqa an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana al-Qur'an, that the manners and etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were the Qur'an, meaning that he would implement and apply that which was revealed to him. And the noble companions, they learned the Qur'an in this manner from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned its recitation and they memorized it precisely as it was revealed. And also they learned its understanding and meanings and law and legislation, and they learned its application, and they applied it in their life. And likewise, they taught their students after them in the same manner, and their students after them in the same manner. And this has been our discussion in our previous classes. And the last class we had ended with an example, with a great noble example, the example of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and that which has been mentioned about him in Sahih Muslim, and likewise in Sahih Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Musa radiyallahu anhu, he says, qadimtu ana wa akhi min al-Yaman fakunna heenan ma nura ibn Mas'ud wa ummahu illa min bayti Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min kathrati dukhurihim wa luzumihim lahu. Me and my brother, we came from Yemen. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu says that me and my brother, we came from Yemen, and for some time we did not think anything except that Ibn Mas'ud and his mother radiyallahu anhuma were from the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of how often they used to enter along with him and how much they would remain by his side. And how much they would remain by his side. It's connected by Imam Muslim as well, that which is connected by Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah from the hadith of Hudhaifa radiyallahu anhu. And he mentioned, inna ashbaha an-nas dallan wa samtan wa hadiyan bi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam libnu ummi abdin min hini yakhruju min baytihi ila an yarji'a ilayhi, that indeed the one who most resembles the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of all of the people, and his manners and his etiquettes and his demeanor and his manners and his etiquette, his demeanor, the way that he carried himself, is indeed the son of the mother of the slave, Ibn Ummi Abd, which is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, from the time he leaves his house until the time he returns. He's saying, Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu, that's the one who most resembles the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his manners and etiquettes and his demeanor, the way that he carries himself and the way that he moves from the time he leaves his house all the way back until the time he enters his home is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Then Hudhayfa, he says, yani to emphasize the honesty and the truthfulness that they have in carrying knowledge and speaking about people. And speaking about people, here he's praising him in a great manner. But even then, he's just in that and only praising him according to what he knows. He's not speaking beyond the limits or nor going to extremes in praising. He says, "Man nadri ma yasna'u fi ahlihi idha khala." When we do not know what he does amongst his family whenever he's alone. And he mentioning that he resembles the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his manners and etiquette, in his conduct, his demeanor. And the way that he moves from the time he leaves his house until the time he returns. And the whole time he's outside of his home, whenever he's mixing with us and we see him, he's the one who resembles most out of all of the people, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for whenever he goes back into his home and we are not able to see him, we do not know what he does. So this is an indication that a person, even whenever he's going to praise someone or if he's going to speak about things in general, he will only say that which he has knowledge of, and that which he has no knowledge of, he will be silent. And he will not go to extremes in praising the people beyond that which they do not deserve. So this is from the just and good way, the way of the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. And this is also what they learned from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as has preceded in the introduction of Sahih Muslim. From the hadith of Aisha, radiyallahu anha, she says, Umirna nunazzila nas manazilahum. We're ordered to put the people in their proper places. So he's saying, as far as what we have seen from him, whenever he's outside of his home, he most resembles the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else. He resembles most more than anyone else the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hadi, yani in his tariqah, in his seerah, in his manner, his methodology, the way that he moves, and his samt, and his hay'ah, his demeanor, his outward appearance, wa dallihi, also in his hala and his hay'ah. Yani the manner that he moves, the manner that he talks, the manner that he speaks, the manner that he walks, the way that he deals with people and the likes like this, his outward appearance and demeanor. So he was the one who most resembled the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this affair, according to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu. So this is indication that the companions radiyallahu anhu, they were diligent. This is just one example. And this is a great example, likewise, of how the companions, they would be so diligent to learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to benefit from him and to follow him and to take him as a role model, absolutely. Because Allah, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah the best role model. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For those who truly hope in Allah and the home in the hereafter, and hoping for the reward of Allah and the pleasure of Allah sincerely and the mercy of Allah and the good home in the hereafter, then these people here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best role model for them. And those who are sincere in that, then they take him as a role model specifically in every aspect of their life. Those who remember Allah often. They remember that the means to reach the pleasure of Allah is to follow the methodology and the way of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point from this is to mention what has come after that from his students. And we're going to discuss, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, some brief details about the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud and some other of the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. But in our previous class, we left off at this point and we review it again. Yani in the beginning of this class before we move on. So it has been mentioned in Sira Lama Nubala and other works likewise even before that from the narration of Humayd ibn Abdurrahman Ru'asi. He says, يُقَالُ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ أَشْبَهَ هَدِيًا وَسَمْتًا وَدَلَّ مِنْ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ بِالنَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it's been mentioned that no one from the companions resembled more the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his manners and etiquettes and his demeanor and his conduct and his methodology and way that he carried himself than Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And this is what is established in Sahih Bukhari as has preceded. And now the point is, he says, وَكَانَ أَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِهِ عَلْقَمَةِ. And those who most resembled Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is Alqamah. Alqamah ibn Qais al-Nakhai. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 60. And he's from the Tabi'in, obviously, from the greatest students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He's the one that they're mentioning that out of all of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he had a number of them, but some of them, they were specific, a handful of them. They were specific students for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and from them, the one who most resembled him was Alqamah ibn Qais al-Nakhai. It's been mentioned about him, rahimahullah, likewise in Sirah al-Imam Nubala, in his biography. It's been mentioned by Abi Muthanna. He says, كَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَأَلْقَمَا يَسُفَّانِ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ أَبْوَابِ كِنْدَ فَيُقْرِئُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ رَجُلًا وَيُقْرِئُ عَلْقَمَةُ رَجُلًا وَيُقْرِئُ عَلْقَمَةُ رَجُلًا. He said that Abdullah and Alqama, radiallahu anhuma, they used to line the people up at the door of Kinda, any one of their masajid, one of their areas that they're living in the Kufa. They used to line them up in two rows, a row like this and a row like this. And Abdullah, he would teach a man the Quran, and Alqama, he would teach another man the Quran. And they're in lines. The men are lined up in lines, and one would come, and he would learn the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he would teach him and then teach the other one, and teach him and teach the other one like this. And Alqamah, he's in the other line, teaching the other row of men. They would line them up in two rows. And then he's mentioned, فَإِذَا فَرَغَا تَذَاكَرَا أَبْوَابُ الْمَنَاسِكِ وَأَبْوَابُ الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. Whenever they finished teaching the students, then they would sit together and they would review and go over the chapters related to the sacred rites of Hajj, to the sacred rites of Al-Hajj, any of the chapters with regards to the verses and the hadith in this affair. And likewise, they would study and review together the chapters related to the halal and the haram, any of the texts that have come with regards to these affairs. So Alqamah, he's very close to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, teaching with him and studying with him and learning from him. And he learned the recitation of the Quran directly from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and likewise, he taught along with him, of course, at his permission. Of course, at his permission, radiyallahu anhuma. He says, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَلْقَمَا فَلَا يَضُرُّكَ أَلَّا تَرَى عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. He said, if you saw Alqama, it will not harm you to never see Abdullah. If you saw Alqama and you witnessed this man, it will not harm you if you never seen Abdullah. أَشْبَهَ النَّسْبِهِ سَمْتًا وَهَدْيًا. He resembled him more than anyone else in his manners and his demeanors. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ النَّخَعِي فَلَا يَضُرُّكَ أَلَّا تَرَى عَلْقَمَةِ. And if you've seen Ibrahim al-Nakhai, he died in the year 96. He's from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. And Alqama is the khal of Ibrahim al-Nakhai. So he says, and if you've seen Ibrahim al-Nakhai, فَلَا يَضُرُّكَ أَلَّا تَرَى عَلْقَمَةِ. But if you've seen Ibrahim al-Nakhai, it will not harm you. It will not harm you that if you did not see Alqama, أَشْبَهَ النَّسْبِهِ سَمْتًا وَهَدْيَةً. He's the one who resembled him most in his manners and his conduct. So this is amazing affair. Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhai, rahimahullah, he's teaching alongside with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. And after learning from him and reaching a high level in knowledge, and then after that, likewise, carrying that knowledge and teaching after him. And it's been mentioned about him as well that he would have students and they'll be learning from him and teaching them and giving them fatwa even in the presence of a number of the companions in his day. And they all agreed in this affair of his status and his rank and his qualification. So that which is mentioned is that the one who most resembled Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhai, rahimahullah. وَكَانَ أَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِأَلْقَمَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. The narration of Humayd ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Ru'asi continues now. وَأَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِأَلْقَمَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. يعني إبراهيم ابن يزيد النخعي رحمه الله تعالى. إبراهيم النخعي. إبراهيم النخعي. And he said, and the one who most resembled Alqama was Ibrahim. يعني إبراهيم النخعي رحمه الله. He died in the year 96. And then he says, وَكَانَ أَشْبَهُهُمْ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ مَنْصُور ابن المُعْتَمِرِ. The one who most resembled Ibrahim from all of the students of Ibrahim was Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir. He died in the year 132. وأشبه الناس به سفيان الثوري. يعني the chain continues. And the one who most resembled him. يعني منصور ابن المعتمر, he had a number of students. Likewise, many students who are learning from him. Many students are learning from him, but those who most resembled him in his manners and his etiquettes, his demeanor, and the way that he carried himself was Sufyan al-Thawri. He died in the year 161. وَأَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَكِيعٌ. And the one who most resembled Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, was Wakiyah, yani Ibn al-Jarrah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 197. So up until now, we see that that Alqamah, he's from the Tabi'een, rather from the Kibar. And Ibrahim al-Naqai, likewise, he's from the Tabi'een, but he is under them. He's from the smaller ones. And Ibrahim and Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar, likewise, he's from the small Tabi'een. And as for Sufyan al-Thawri, he's from the Kibar at-Ba' al-Tabi'een. So the chain is continuing down. But each one of these individuals, they were diligent to learn from their teachers and to implement the knowledge that they learned until it's seen in their conduct and manners and the way that they carried themselves. And it's mentioned the likes of these affairs about them. And then he says, rahimahullah, wa ashbahu nas bi waqi', yani waqi' is from the sigar at atba'. So for Sufyan is from the kibar atba' tabi'in, and waqi' is from sigar atba' tabi'in. وَأَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِوَاقِعٍ فِيمَا قَالَهُ مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ يُونَسِ الْجَمَّالِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ حَنْبَلِ. And the one who most resembled Waqi' rahimahullah from the people, and that which Muhammad ibn Yunus had mentioned, is Ahmed ibn Hanbal. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 241. And it's been mentioned after that by a number of the people of knowledge as well. And أشبه الناس بأحمد رحمه الله كان أبا داود السجستاني رحمه الله سليمان بن أشهد. He died in the year 275. The one who most resembled Al-Imam Ahmed رحمه الله تعالى was his great student Abu Dawood السجستاني. His name is سليمان بن أشهد أبو داود السجستاني رحمه الله Ta'ala. So this is an amazing chain mentioned here, that each one of these individuals, they had a number of students. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he had a number of students. And likewise, Alqamah, he had a number of students. And likewise, Ibrahim, he had a number of students. And as well, Mansur and Sufyan and Waqi'ah, they had a number of students. And likewise, Al-Imam Ahmad, he had a number of students. But the ones who resembled them best out of all of them students were these individuals here, until it became known. So the point is that they would learn these affairs. Going back to the narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, who died in the year 110, also from the Tabi'een, كانوا يتعلمون الهدي كما يتعلمون العلم, that they used to learn the demeanor and the manners and the guidance of how to carry oneself the same way they would learn knowledge, the same way they study aqidah and they study fiqh and they study halal and they study haram and they study the manasik and the likes of these affairs. Also, they study and learn the manners and the conduct. And this is because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned an authentic narration by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Imam Ahmad and other than him. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was only sent to perfect the righteous manners. In one wording, مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, the noble and lofty good manners. So the religion about Islam and the revelation that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the guidance in the Quran and the Sunnah is all manners and etiquettes. It's all manners and etiquettes, beginning with Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, manners and etiquettes with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the deen of Allah and the legislation of Allah. Manners and etiquettes, yani in the wudu and in the ghusl. Manners and etiquettes in eating and drinking and coming and going in the house and outside of the home and having intercourse and the likes. Manners and etiquettes in every affair. The salat is all about manners. It's all about manners. And likewise, in giving charity, there's manners and etiquettes one he must abide by. Also in performing the fast. The fast, for example, we're going to fast tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the fast of the 9th of Tasua, in preparation for the fast of Ashura, which is the day after tomorrow. There's manners and etiquettes in fasting. does manners and etiquettes in fasting. By learning these manners and etiquettes, inshallah, the fast will be accepted. And even by perfecting those manners and etiquettes, then the reward of the fast will be greater and more complete. There are some manners and etiquettes that are obligatory to abide by in performing these legislative actions of worship. And if they're violated, then the action is invalid. And there's other manners and etiquettes with regards to these actions of worship that are recommended and from the perfection of that deed. The point is now to emphasize the importance on manners and etiquettes. And this is the display of the truthfulness of a person, and that the knowledge has set in his heart. That the knowledge has set in his heart and has sunk in and taken hold in his heart until it's seen in his manners, in his etiquettes, his demeanor, his conduct. He has control over his tongue. He has control over his eyes. He has control over his desires. He has control over his whims. He's not overcome easily by the fools. Rather, he acts in a manner of dignity whenever he passes by the fools with the marru bil-lagwi, marru kirama. And these things are established in the Book of Allah. And likewise in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many examples from the best of mankind with regards to this. A man, he came from behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grabbed him by his collar, grabbed him by his garment, his rida, and squeezed it until it showed the marks on his noble neck sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Give me some sadaqah, O Muhammad." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled and said, "Give him some sadaqah. Give him some sadaqah." And he's very patient. He's very calm. He's very collective. He doesn't move on whims and desires. Like he said himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever truly believes in Allah in the last day, then let him say that which is good or be silent. So this is from having sincere faith and remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla in these hot situations and guarding one's limbs from doing something that is not pleasing to Allah. And if you read in the books of adab, al-adab al-shar'iyya, whether it's in the books that are written in regular form, al-nathar, al-manthur, or whether it's in the books that are written in the nazm, and the poetry, the manzum, like the adab al-shar'iyya by Ibn Muflih, and likewise al-fiyya fil adab, by Hajawi and the likes like that, you will find that they begin with adab al-jawarih. Adab al-jawarih. They begin with the manners and etiquettes of the body parts, and the etiquettes with regards to the eyes and the tongue, with the eyes and the tongue and the hands and the likes like this. And because this is of utmost importance that a person, he checks these limbs. He checks these limbs with the reins of the legislation. So again, the companions, radiallahu anhum, it's been mentioned, from Abu Abdurrahman Sulami, he's also from the Tabi'in, rahimahullah, and from the students of Uthman and Ali, and also Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said that those who taught us the Quran, and he referring to these people, referring to Ali and Uthman and the likes of them, radiallahu anhum, he said they used to learn ashra ayat. كانوا يتعلمون عشرة آيات فلا يتجاوزونها حتى يعلموا ما فيها من علم وعمل فتعلموا العلم والعمل معا. They said that they used to learn 10 verses at a time, and they would not go past them until they learned what these verses contained from knowledge and application. So therefore, they learn knowledge and application at the same time. So this is from the way of the Salaf al-Salih, and this is how they have this term here, the righteous and pious predecessors. So they're not only our predecessors, rather in those generations, and in the generation of and those best three generations, they're individuals who are misguided and deviant. Waliyadhu billah, although they were few, but they were there. The people of innovation, especially in the second and third generation, and more so in the third generation, they appeared. Ma'bad ibn Juhaniyya and the likes of them, they were in these generations. The Qadariyya, they came. The Khawarij, they came. Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, he was in these generations. So there were some deviant people here. So they're from the Salaf, yani linguistically, and they're alive in those best generations, but they were wicked. They were not salih, but the ones that we follow, that we admire, and we take as role models, we love them for the sake of Allah, they're as-salif as-salih. As-salif as-salih, the righteous and pious predecessors. That's because they had knowledge and they applied it in their life. So whenever we study some of these affairs, this is the benefits that we want to take. Because in reality, studying the sciences of hadith, the main wisdom, The main wisdom and the main benefit is studying the sciences of hadith, including the sciences of the tabaqat and the sciences of the narrators and the likes like this, is to reach a level of knowledge in this particular field that a person is able to identify that which is authentic from that which is not authentic in the from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is not going to happen in the English language. This is not going to happen by way of translation. And it's to reach the level where a person, he will be able to identify that which is authentic from that which is not authentic, any from that which is ascribed authentically to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from that which is not, from that which is not. This is not going to happen by way of translation. This is a high level of knowledge that in order to reach there, first you must learn the Arabic language. You must learn the Arabic language. I remember now, subhanAllah, a narration from
Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, he came to al-Amish.
Sulaiman ibn Mihran, he's from those six who the chains revolve around. We took him last week, right? From the people of Al-Kufa, from the people of Al-Kufa, Al-A'mash, rahimahullah.
قال ذهبت إلى Al-A'mash, أردت أن أسمع منه حديث وربما لحنت. He said, I went to Al-A'mash to learn narrations from him.
وربما لحنت. Al-Lahn is whenever you make a mistake in the Arabic language, you make something that has a dhamma, have a kisra, or a fatha, and it's supposed to have another letter, and he make a mistake in this affair, or he'll mispronounce the word. Either in the Arab or in the Sarf. Either in the Arab or in the Sarf.
He said to me, Ya Abu Sufyan, إِنَّ هُنَاكَ مَا هُوَ أَوْلَى بِكَ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. He said, Oh Abu Sufyan, there's something that's more rightful for you to learn first than Hadith. He said, What is that? He said, What is that? He said, النَّحُ. He said, النَّحُ, any Arabic grammar. There's something more rightful for you to learn first before you learn narrations. He said, What is that? He said, Arabic grammar. He said, فَأَمْلَأَ عَلَيَّ الْعَمَشْ النَّحْوَ ثُمَّ أَمْلَأَ عَلَيَّ الْحَدِيثِ. So Al-A'mash, he taught me Al-Nahu, Arabic grammar, and then he taught me the Hadith.
So learning the Arabic language is the key and the gateway to studying these sciences. And there are other benefits in studying these sciences. This is the main one. This is the main one, to reach this level, to determine that which is authentic from that which is not authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But also from the benefits is to understand the people of knowledge whenever they speak. Is to understand the people of knowledge whenever they speak, because they have mustalahat that they speak with. So we read in the books many times, even for example in Kitab al-Tawheed, or other than that, from the works of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, that we study often. Ja'a marfu'an, for example, this hadith came marfu'an, and what does that mean? Or hadha hadithun hasan, or bi isnadin jayyid, and the likes like this. What does this mean? What does that mean? What does it mean that it's hasan? What does it mean? What does it mean that it's marfu'an? Or sahha mawqufan duna an marfu'an, that it has been authenticated mawqufan, but not marfu'an. What do these terms mean? We find them in the books of the people of knowledge that we study and that we read. So also from the great benefits of studying the likes of these sciences, to be able to understand what the people of knowledge, they mean, and to follow along with that and benefit from their works, whether they're written or whether in classes, whether they're written or whether they're in classes. Also, we are able to see in detail the diligence that the people of knowledge have made all throughout history in preserving the legislation and establishing it, and that it is something that is affirmed, and there's no doubt about that. To have more trust in that which has reached us, and to increase in faith, and stability in faith, and having great certainty that which has reached us from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the likes of Bukhari and Muslim specifically is authentic. And likewise, that which has been authenticated by other scholars from the other works after that, likewise, is authentic. And it's ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. This is a narration that is from the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, so for example, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أَمُورُ مُشْتَبَهَاتِ. And in these narrations, this is ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Haddathana Rasulullah was sadiqun masduq. And in these narrations and the likes like this, these are a believer, he, after studying or seeing, not necessarily even studying, but seeing some of these principles and some of these affairs and these tabaqat and that which is related to the men, and also some of these sciences of hadith, then a person, he would increase in faith and certainty and tuma'nina and ease and rest in his heart. Then the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is revelation and legislation, and is protected and preserved. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرًا وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. So this is from the intents of studying the likes of these affairs so that we can increase in faith. And likewise, so that we can have some general background knowledge of these affairs to see the diligence that these men have went through and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected them and chose them to preserve His religion. To preserve His religion so that we can love them. And so that we can be even more certain likewise that their way is the right way. That their way is the right way. And their understanding is the correct understanding because they're the narrators who narrated to us the Quran and the Sunnah. And after the companions. The companions first and foremost, radiyallahu anhum, and then after that the tabi'un, after that the tabi'at tabi'in, and then after that tabi'u tabi'at tabi'in. They're the ones who gathered the books. They're the ones who gathered and collected all of these narrations. So therefore their understanding and interpretation of the Quran and the Sunnah is the proper understanding and interpretation. And those who come after them, and the later generations who opposed them in that understanding, interpretation, especially in creed and aqidah, especially in the sifat of Rabb al-Bariyah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is rejected and not accepted. And it's a deviant in a bad way. And it's a deviant in a bad way. So by seeing some of these affairs, it will become clear. Alhamdulillah. So we read some benefits tonight also from that which Ali ibn al-Madini, he mentioned, rahimahullah, in his work, Ilal al-Hadith. وَمَعْرِفَةُ الرِّجَالِ وَالتَّارِيخِ. And from the defects, about the defects of the narrations and having knowledge of the men and the history. Knowledge of the men and the history. And the introduction, and he mentioned some of these benefits. We discussed previously how he began the book that he observed, and he pondered over the narrators, and he found that the chains revolve around six. And they're all from Sigar al-Tabi'in, from the small Tabi'in. These here, they're all from the small Tabi'in. I want to test you now, but we'll see. Who are they? Six of them. In Medina, Muhammad ibn Shi'ab. In Mecca, Amr ibn Dinar. In Basra, Qatada and Yahya ibn, and Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. And then in Kufa, it was Abi Ishaq al-Sabi'i and Al-Amash. Al-Amash. These are the six. And then after that, there's 12 who learned from them. And then from those 12, their knowledge went to six. And not specific, not only, but the majority of the chains. He's telling us about the majority of the chains. If you look, they'll go back to these six. From the Sigar al-Tabi'in. And then from them, there are 12 main students of knowledge, scholars of hadith, who learned from these six. Who learned from these six, and they carried their knowledge after them. And then from these 12, there are six main individuals who learned from them and carried the knowledge after them. So the discussion is continuing now about this affair. But now it's kind of going back to the beginning. So it says, لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ لَهُ سُحَيْبَةٌ يَذْهَبُونَ مَذْهَبَهُ وَيُفْتُونَ بِفَتْوَاهُ وَيَسْلُكُونَ طَرِيقَتَهُ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَةً. That there was none from the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that had themselves companions, meaning students, and they followed their methodology, and they give the fatwa based upon what they learned from them, and they're traversing upon their way, except for three. Yani, there are others likewise. There are others likewise who are diligent in spreading knowledge, and maybe they had students, but it was not in this manner. It was not in this manner. Yani, so this is basically referring to the Madaris al-Sahaba, ba'da wafat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, they split up through the lands, going for jihad and conquering the lands and the likes like this, and also carrying with them knowledge. And each one carrying with him the knowledge that he had of the Quran and of the Sunnah. Some of them went to Asham and the areas around there. And others, they went to Misr and the areas around there. Some, they went to Yemen and the areas around there. And some of them, they went to Iraq and the areas around there. Some of them, they remained in the Medina and the areas around there. Others, they went to Mecca, or they were in Mecca and the likes like this and the areas around there. So the companions, they spread out in this manner like this. So after this, he's telling us now that from all of them, there are three of them that were diligent, and they had students who are learning from them. Yani, they had students who are learning from them, and they're following them and taking them as role models and being diligent in that and learning their methodology and learning their way, learning their recitation of the Quran, and likewise learning their understanding, learning the fatawa that they have and the narrations that they have, and their understanding and the understanding that they have, and the fatawa that they give and verdicts that they judge and rule with, So they had students in this manner. There are three of them. He says Abdullah ibn Mas'ud wa Zayd ibn Thabit wa Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Zayd ibn Thabit and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum. It's been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentioned the same thing in his work Alam al-Waqi'in. And he mentioned along with Zayd ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Umar. And also some have mentioned Abu Hurairah likewise. They are as well in Medina. But it's mentioned that they for the most part, whatever they did not have from narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they likewise also followed the methodology of Zayd ibn Thabit. And they gave the fatwa based upon the fatwa of Zayd ibn Thabit. So even then they're benefiting from Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. So this is with regards to the land. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was in Al-Kufa. And Zayd ibn Thabit, he was in Al-Madinah. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, He was in Mecca. So it says, Ashabu Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Aladina yuftuna bi fatwahu, wa yakra'una bi qira'atihi, Alqama ibn Qais, wal Aswad ibn Yazid, wa Masruq wa Abida al-Salmani, wal Harith ibn Qais, wa Amr ibn Sharahbil. He says, and the companions of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, when I say companions, what does that mean? The students. Sahabatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom? Talamiduhu, tulabuhu. And they're his students. And they're the most believed in him and followed him and aided him, but they're the ones who learned from him. So afterwards, the scholars of hadith, if they refer to a teacher's students, they call them ashabuhu. Ashabuhu, meaning they're his companions, meaning they're his students. So the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, those who used to give the verdicts based upon his verdicts, and they used to read according to his recitation. Read the Quran according to his recitation as Alqama ibn Qais. We've seen him. And Al-Aswad ibn Yazid. And both of them are Naqai. And Masruq ibn Ajda. And his name is Masruq. It's mentioned that he was literally stolen whenever he was a baby. Suriqa wa huwa sagir. And then they found him later on. So they called him Masruq. And Masruq means something that was stolen. And subhanallah. But these are from the best of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And if we had someday we read the biography of each and every one of them, inshallah. And Abida al-Salmani. If you take these names now and you search and you look, for example, look for these names in Sir Alam al-Nubala, for example, you will find amazing affairs mentioned about these particular individuals here from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So the first one, Alqama ibn Qais al-Naqai. After that, Al-Aswad ibn Yazid al-Naqai. After that, Masruq ibn Ajda'. And after that, Abida al-Salmani. And Al-Harith ibn Qais and Amr ibn Sharahbil. These are his main students who learned from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that they were five. And he mentioned them. He says, some of them are referring now to which one they would show preference for. And some of them they would prefer one over the other. So this is the ones that he mentioned. And also they added Shurayh. His name is Shurayh al-Qadhi, also from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he added an additional name. But here he says a benefit about them. Who are they? Alqama, Al-Aswad, Masruq, Abida, Harith and Amr, and this is what Ali ibn Madini is mentioning. And in this wording here by narrated from Ibn Sirin, he mentioned that there are five. And he replaced one of them with Shurayh. So he mentioned Al-Harith, and he mentioned Abida, and then Al-Harith, and then he mentioned Masruq and Alqama and Shurayh. So the point is now, he says, وَكُلُّ, this is the statement of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, وَكُلُّهُمْ كَانَ فِيهِ عَيْبٍ وَكُلُّهُمْ كَانَ فِيهِ عَيْبٍ. Every one of these individuals, he had a physical defect. وَكُلُّهُمْ كَانَ فِيهِ. Every one of these persons here, every one of these people here, كَانَ فِيهِ عَيْبٍ. He had a عَيْب. What is a عَيْب? A defect, a fault, a shame, something that's not good. A defect, a fault, a physical defect, and the likes like this. So he says, كَانَ الْحَارِثُ أَعْوَر. الْحَارِثُ, he was one-eyed. وَعَبِيدَ أَعْوَرْ. And Abida, he had one eye also. He's one-eyed. He can only see out of one eye. وَمَسْرُوكْ أَحْدَبْ. Masruq is أَحْدَبْ. Masruq, he was hunchback. And كان Alqama يَقُولُونَ مُقْعَدًا. And Alqama, he was handicapped. وَكَانَ شُرَيْحْ كَوْسَجًا. And Shuraih, he was kosaj, and he meaning he had absolutely no hair on his face whatsoever, except for maybe a couple of hairs on his chin like this, and a couple of hairs on his chin like this. And he saw he was kosaj. And he saw so he's saying here that any this was the case with them. This was the case with them. And then he's going to mention likewise the those who knew their methodology the most was what was Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and likewise al-Amish. Likewise al-Amish. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he mentioned a narration to al-Amish. What's his name? Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He died in the year 148. He's from Kufa, from those who the six chains revolve around. So any of these names keep repeating. So if we learn them and remember them, we know who they are. And then we love them, inshallah, we imitate them, and we hope that we'll be resurrected alongside of them, in the company of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that Amash, he said, Kana fi ashabi Abdullah, Shuraih Kosaj, Alqama A'raj, Masruk Ahdab, Abida A'war, Ibrahim A'war, Mughira A'ma, wa ana uhibbuhum, wa ana Amash. Rahimahumullah. He says, Al-Amash, he says, Al-Amash, Sulaiman ibn Mihran, he's Al-Amash, it means somebody who has weak eyesight. Yani da'ufa basuruhu. Somebody who's weak eyesight. Also, as mentioned, the one that his eyes tear up a lot. Also, and he cannot see well. This person is called Amish. So he's not blind, but he's Amish, and he has very weak eyesight, very weak eyesight. So at Amish, he says the students of Abdullah, they were Shuraih. He was Kosaj. Shuraih, and he had absolutely no hair on his face except for a few hairs maybe on the chin. And then Al-Qama, he was Araj. Al-Qama was Araj. This is a clarifying what it meant before disabled. And he's handicapped in his leg. His hand, he limped. Rahimahullah. Wa-Masruq Ahdab. And Masruq was hunchback. Abida A'war. Abida, he was blind. He's one-eyed. Wa-Ibrahim A'war. Ibrahim, he was one-eyed. Wa-Mughira A'ma. And Mughira, he's blind himself. He said, Wa-Ana Uhibuhum. And I love them. Wa-Ana A'mash. And I am A'mash. Yani Allah, Allahu Akbar. Rahimahullah wa ta'ala. Rahimahullah wa ta'ala. So, these affairs here, they did not prohibit them. These defects here, these are from the most beautiful of mankind, the most handsome of men, the most handsome of men, the best of the people, the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. So somebody, maybe sometimes he has a physical defect or a type of aib or something that's considered yani not so good in his physical appearance. Maybe he's not the most handsome person. But because of his sincerity and diligence to learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to hold fast to that and to apply that in his life, now he becomes the best of mankind, the most beautiful and brilliant and bright. The most beautiful and brilliant and bright until all of the people are praising him and loving him and following his way, even if he has one eye, even if he's blind, even if he's limping, even if he's hunchbacked, and the likes like this, even if his face, he has absolutely no beard whatsoever, whatever the case may be, some people may find a defect or a fault with him, but because of the knowledge that he has and the sincerity he has in carrying that knowledge and applying that knowledge and holding fast to the legislation of Allah and checking his soul with the reins of the legislation, he rises in the eyes of the people, and he rises in the levels and ranks with the Lord of the people, with the Lord of the people until we see them. So we say, like Amash, he says, "Wa nuhibbuhum," and I love them. I love Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Allah, I love the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud and the students of their students likewise. We love them. We love them for the sake of Allah, and we take it as deen. We love them for the sake of Allah, and we take it as deen. Alhamdulillah. So Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, he says, وَأَصْحَابُ هَؤُلَاءِ السِّتَّةِ, and the students of those six, مِنْ أَصْحَابِ عَبْدَاللَّهِ مِمَّنْ يَقُولُ بِقَوْلِهِمْ وَيُفْتِي بِفَتْوَاهُمْ, and the students of those six, from those students of Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, from those who follow his methodology, they follow his methodology and understanding, and they give the verdicts based upon the verdicts of Abdullah, and they give their students, those who follow their methodology, and they give the verdicts based upon their verdicts, and based upon the verdicts that they learn from the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he says, number one, Ibrahim al-Nakhai. Ibrahim al-Nakhai. And he mentions some benefits about him and that he met almost all of them. And then Amir, yani referring to Amir al-Sha'bi, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Sha'bi, he's from the greatest of the scholars of hadith likewise. Ibrahim al-Naqai, he died in the year 96. And al-Shaabi, he died in the year 103, taqriban, or around there, around there. So Ibrahim, he heard from al-Aswad, he heard from Alqama and Masruq and Abida, and he didn't hear from the others. And Amir, he heard from all of them except for Harith. So these two here, they were from the greatest students of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. These two here, from the greatest students of the students of Ibn Mas'ud. And then he says, وَكَانَ أَعْلَمَ النَّاسِ بِهَؤُلَىٰ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ مِمَّا يُفْتِي بِفَتْوَاهُمْ وَيَذْهَبُ مَذْهَبَهُمْ الْعَامَشْ وَأَبُو إِسْحَاقِ. And those who had most knowledge of these individuals here, from the people of Al-Kufa, and they gave their verdicts based upon their verdicts, and they followed their methodology precisely, was Al-Amash and Abu Ishaq. Al-Amash and Abu Ishaq. Al-Amash, his name is Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He died in 148. And Abu Ishaq, who is that? As-Sabi'i. Abu Ishaq, As-Sabi'i. He died in the year 129. These, both of them are from those six. So he says, وَالْعَمَشْ عَلَمُ النَّاسِ بِمَنْ مَضَى مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ غَيْرَ رَجُلٍ وَلَمْ يَلْقَى الْعَمَشْ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ أَحَدًا. And he says, an Amash, rahimahullah, he is the most knowledgeable of those who had passed previously, except for one man, any meaning Abu Ishaq, any their peers in this affair. And they both have a high level and great knowledge with regards to the methodology of the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. So he says, and Amash, he didn't meet any one of them. And Amash, he didn't meet the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He didn't meet the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud directly. He met al-Nakhai and the likes like them, those who came after him. And as for Abu Ishaq, then he met al-Aswad, and also Masruq, and Abida, and Amr ibn Sharahil. And he didn't meet Alqama, and he didn't meet al-Harith. So he's clarifying many details here, and this is of utmost importance because they're in the same tabaqah, but some of them they met these companions and others they didn't, or some of them they met the tabi'in and others they didn't. And this is also going to help the people of knowledge to identify whether the chain is connected or not. So for a scholar of hadith, this is very important information, great information to be able to identify. Because if it's verified here, for example, that al-Amash, he didn't meet Alqamah. He didn't meet Alqamah. So if we find a narration and al-Amash, he says, an Alqamah, then what do we say? No, he's not lying. He said, an. He's mentioning to us now, that there's a person between him and Alqamah. If he said, I heard Alqamah, then now he's going to be lying. But they won't say that. He won't say that. He'll say, an. Huh? He'll say, an, or qala, for example. Qala Alqamah, or an Alqamah, and the likes like this. So now we know that there's a missing link in the chain. There's a missing link in the chain. So this will help us to identify these affairs. So in any case, we just want to know about these students. So after them, he says, وَبَعْدَ هَؤُلَاءِ سُفْيَانِ الثَّوْرِ. And the chain is coming down now. So I went from where we were at before in the beginning. And this is from the people of Kufa. So we learn about the best of them. Alqama and Abida and al-Harith and Shurayh and the likes of them. And al-Aswad ibn Yazid. These are those who met Abdullah bin Mas'ud directly and learned from him and learned his recitation and followed his way and understood the religion of Al-Islam based upon what they learned from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And then after that, they're teaching their students. And from those who learned from them the most, either directly or learned from their students, was Ibrahim al-Nakhai. And then after that, likewise al-Amash. And Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. So this is now, those chains are coming here to those six. It goes up to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and now to these six. And then it's coming back down to those 12. From those 12 was Sufyan al-Thawri, if you remember. From those 12 was Sufyan al-Thawri. So in al-Kufa, from the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, those who followed their way precisely and studied with them and learned their methodology in a way and followed it any diligently was Sufyan al-Thawri, and this is the chain that we're just discussing. And he from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, those who resembled him the most, radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned after Sufyan al-Thawri was Yahya bin Sa'id al-Qattan, and he from the next generation. He's from those six who came after those 12. So he's following the order. There's six and there's 12 and there's six. So this is any some clarification and details of that. of that. After this, he mentions وَأَصْحَابُ إِبْنِ عَبَاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا and the students of Ibn Abbas الَّذِينَ يَذْهَبُونَ مَذْهَبَهُ وَيَسْلُكُونَ طَرِيقَهُ those who follow his methodology and they hold fast to his way. أَطَاعَ يعني أَطَاعَ ابن أبي رباح. He died in the 114. وطاووس يعني طاووس ابن كيسان. He died in 101. ومجاهد مجاهد ابن جبر. He died in the year 100, 101, 102 after that. It's been mentioned 104, 109 in this area. Mujahid is the one who recited the Quran to Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma three times, stopping him at every time, asking for the interpretation. And Jabir ibn Zayd, he died in 93, and Ikrimah, Mawla ibn Abbas, he died in 104. And Sa'id ibn Jubair, he died in the year 95. Sa'id ibn Jubair, he died in the year 95. 95, he says, فَأَعْلَمُ هَؤُلَاءِ سَعِيدَ بُنْ جُبَيْرُ وَأَثْبَتُهُمْ فِيهِ and the most knowledgeable of all of them with regards to the most knowledgeable of all of them was Sa'id ibn Jubair. And he was the strongest in narrating the knowledge of Ibn Abbas. So Ibn Abbas was where? In Mecca. We go back to the six, two of the chains revolve around. Who was the one from Mecca? Amr ibn Dinar. Amr ibn Dinar. He died 2 years after Ibn Shihab. 126. He died in 126. So now he says, وَكَانَ أَعْلَمُ نَاسْ بِهَؤُلَاءِ عَمْرِ ibn Dinar. And the one who had most knowledge of the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was Amr ibn Dinar. وَكَانَ يُحِبُّ ibn Abbas وَيُحِبُّ أَصْحَابُهُ. And he used to love ibn Abbas and he used to love his students. ثُمَّ كَانَ ibn Jurayj وَسُفْيَانَ ibn Uyayna يُحِبَّانِ أَصْحَابُ ibn Abbas وَيُحِبَّانِ طَرِيقَهُ. And after that, Ibn Jurayj, he was also from those 12, and he from the people of Mecca. He died in the year 150 or 152. And also Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he died in the year 198. He was the great teacher of Al-Humaydi, the author of the treatise that we had a seminar over this past weekend, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He said that they both of them, they used to love Ibn Abbas, and they used to love his methodology and way. And they used to love Ibn Abbas, and they used to love his methodology and his way. And he mentioned about the students that they learned from, and that they learned from the students. And some of them met all of those students of Ibn Abbas, and others just some of them. So he clarified those details. After this, he said, وَأَصْحَابُ زَيْدِ بْنِ ثَابِتِ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَأْخُذُونَ عَنْهُ وَيُفْتُونَ بِفَتْوَاهُ منهم من لقيه ومنهم من لم يلقاه إثنا عشر رجلا. And from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, where was he at? In Al-Madina. In Al-Madina. Ibn Mas'ud was in Al-Kufa. And Ibn Abbas was in Mecca. And Zayd ibn Thabit was in Al-Madina. These are the madaris al-thalatha fi asr al-sahaba radiallahu anhum. These are the three main schools where the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah is being clarified and being taught and being spread from, and throughout the lands, radiallahu anhum. So he says the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, from those who learned, they took from him, and they gave the fatwa and the ruling and jurisprudence based upon what they learned from him. Some of them met him, and some of them did not meet him. There are 12 men. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he died in 94. Urwa ibn al-Zubayr, wa Qabisa ibn Dhu'ayb, wa Kharija ibn Zayd, wa Sulaiman ibn يسار وأبان ابن عثمان وعبيد الله ابن عبد الله والقاسم ابن محمد والسالم ابن عبد الله وأبو بكر ابن عبد الرحمن وأبو سلمة ابن عبد الرحمن وطلحة ابن عبد الله ابن عوف والنافع ابن جبير ابن مطعم ابن مطعم. So he mentioned these 12 individuals now. 7 of them are known as الفقهاء السبعة. الفقهاء السبعة, the 7 فقهاء who are alive at one time from the Tabi'een in Al-Madinah. The 7 fuqaha, any great scholars of Al-Islam from the scholars of the Tabi'een, they're all alive at one time and present in Al-Madinah. They're known as Al-Fuqaha Al-Saba'a. But we see that they're the students of Zayd ibn Thabit. Radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn Thabit, who knows something about him? Something very great and important. He collected the Quran. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.